Let me take just a moment to welcome each one here this morning, and to those who are visiting with us, we appreciate your presence, and we invite you to come back and be with us anytime that you have an opportunity to do so. I want you to know that you have a responsibility to know God's truth. God has revealed himself in the Bible. We learn about God from both the Old and the New Testament. It is the complete story of who we are and why we are here. And so to that end, I would encourage you to study and always compare what I say against the standard of God's Word. In the passage read a moment ago, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4, we have the day of Pentecost on which the Holy Spirit came on the apostles. And from that moment, the apostles began to teach and to preach and to reveal the mystery of God, to reveal God's message to people. We understand the great importance of the Holy Spirit in revealing God's message. We understand that the Holy Spirit worked in both the Old Testament and the New Testament times. That there were men of God, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the things God wanted them to speak. The Holy Spirit chose the words. The Holy Spirit chose the message. There are many people today who believe the Holy Spirit is doing exactly the same as what he did in the early church, or what he did in different times in the Old Testament. Please know that even when you go back to the Old Testament, it seems that the Holy Spirit's work was not ongoing. It was not something that you would see or witness at least by way of written revelation, every year, every decade, every century necessarily. In fact, if Moses did write or pen the book of Genesis, then there is a long period of time when we have no written revelation. Moses went back to the very beginning, and he talked about the creation, and he talked about the things that took place with regard to Noah and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we realize that the Holy Spirit did work in different periods of time revealing God's message when it was time for him to do so. But there are people who believe that the Holy Spirit is working exactly the same way today that he did almost 2,000 years ago. What we need to understand is that the signs given by the Holy Spirit, the ability for men to perform miracles, came to those who believed. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Many take this passage and they say that this is applicable for all Christians. That if you are a child of God, you will have these powers. If you are a child of God, you will be able to cast out demons. You will be able to speak in new tongues and pick up serpents and drink deadly poison and all of the things mentioned here. That this is a promise made to all believers, to all Christians. And so if you cannot do at least some of these, then you must not be a Christian. And of course, for the most part, the one sign that they look to that they turn to is the sign of tongue speaking. They do not turn to the sign of picking up deadly serpents. Now, some will do that. They do not take the sign of drinking deadly poison. In fact, I know of no one who will do that. But these are all signs that would follow those who believe, including the serpents and the drinking of deadly poison. But again, many will tell us that if we are Christians, we ought to be able to perform some kind of miracle. And again, tongue speaking is the one that they look to most. Some believe that the faithful child of God must have a personal and direct and miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is in them, guiding their thoughts, their understanding, that the Holy Spirit will give to them even the ability to understand and to reason. And that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot know truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot believe or have faith. And so many believe it is easier with the Holy Spirit to do certain things. Have you ever stopped and wondered about how much easier it would be for us to do some things if we had the Holy Spirit working the same way today that He did some 2,000 years ago? Please realize something. It is not a matter of questioning the Holy Spirit's power or limiting God. You know, when God finished certain works, that work was done. What happened on the seventh day of creation? The word rest or rested there that is used in reference to what God did doesn't mean that He took a nap. It doesn't mean that He was tired. It means that He ceased from work. He had completed creation. It was over with. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ will not die again and again and again on the cross. He did it once. It was over with. And the Holy Spirit, I would suggest to you, has completed the work that He had to do. But have you ever wondered if it would be easier to have a personal confidence in the message? You as a teacher, would you be more confident in telling people that this is truth and this is what you need to believe in? We are hesitant sometimes because we question ourselves. Would it be easier to teach and convince other people about the truth if we had the Holy Spirit in us? I've often wondered if I could go up and I could perform a miracle in connection with trying to teach someone, would that make any difference? Would it be easier to know just what to say and when to say it with the Holy Spirit? Would it be easier to resolve conflicts, disagreements with the Holy Spirit? Would it be easier to remain faithful if I had the Holy Spirit dwelling in me just as He did in the early church with some? We need to ask ourselves a question in trying to answer all of this, in trying to understand the Holy Spirit, in understanding the Holy Spirit's work, and whether or not God has promised us the same miraculous powers who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? That is significant. That is important. I realize that the ones who received on the day of Pentecost, they were not the only ones to have ever had power of miracles or speaking in tongues. But we want to begin with this question, who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? And does it have any connection with the promise that was made, for example, in the book of Mark chapter 16 that we read a few moments ago? That those who believed would be able to do certain things. Well, let's look at this for a moment. Who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Some believe that more than just the apostles did. But we read in the book of Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And so the physician Luke is writing this book of history that tells us about the early church, how the early church was established, how it all began. He's writing to this man, explaining these things to him. And he refers back to the first book. And that would, of course, be the Gospel of Luke. And he said, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. His ministry was about 3.5 years old. Or long. That's the time that Jesus had in his personal work, his personal teaching, the miracles that he performed. All that Jesus began to do and teach. Until the day when he was taken up. And so, at that moment, some things ended. Remember we said that when God completes something, when God finishes something, then it's over with. Well, the work that Jesus had here on this earth was over with when he was taken up. But that was done after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, whom he had chosen. And so we note in chapter 1 that the ones under consideration are the apostles. Let's look in verse 4 and 5. And while staying with them, the apostles, he ordered them, the apostles, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you heard, you apostles. You apostles heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you, you apostles, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so he's reminding them of a promise made. This is what John the Baptist did. But you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be soon. Not many days are going to pass. And we look in chapter 1, verse 9. When he, again Jesus, said these things, as they, the apostles, were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight, the apostles. At this point, they are the only ones in the context. In verse 12, then they, the apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. So Jesus had reminded them of what he'd said, the promise made that they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told them what to do, to go to Jerusalem and to wait there. And they did that. But in this time, and it was a short time, a few days, between when Jesus ascended back into heaven and the day of Pentecost, the apostles got together. And they met with some disciples. In verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was about 120. So now, we're talking more than just the 11 apostles who were still alive and there. And he said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, not the 120, but among the apostles, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now, how do I know the us here was not referring to the 120? In verse 21, they were going to choose someone to replace Judas. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out from among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us, now listen, a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. So two men were put up as possible replacements for Judas, that he might become one of them, one of us. But again, who's the us? Verse 26. And they, now whoever the they were, the same as the us. They cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias. Now listen, and he was numbered, who's the us? With the 11 apostles. There's nothing said in the context that would indicate the 120 had anything to do with this part. Peter stood up. Peter talked to them, reminded them, and they were certainly a part of the understanding that someone was going to replace Judas. But the 120 had nothing to do with the choosing, the selection. In fact, Jesus is the one who ultimately selected. But again, you notice that they were going to be numbered among the 11. Remember back in Acts 2, verse 1 through verse 4? Because this is the immediate context. As we follow now from chapter 1 into chapter 2, remember that Matthias was chosen. And listen to what it said. And Matthias is going now to be numbered with one of the apostles. Among the 11, he would be the 12th. In Acts 2, verse 1 through verse 4, what do we read? They were all together in one place. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Appeared to them, rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak in different languages or tongues. Who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? In chapter 2, verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. You cannot read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and get anything else except the 12 received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was never promised in this way, by way of miracles, by way of tongue speaking. They were never promised inspiration past the 12 apostles. And I would remind you that conversion did not guarantee the power of miracles. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, what had taken place? Well, end of chapter 7 and the beginning of chapter 8, we have a man stoned to death, Stephen, because of his preaching the gospel. And we read there in the beginning of Acts chapter 8 that when this persecution began, it was so intense there in Jerusalem in that area that the disciples were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Samaria was fairly close to Jerusalem and Judea. Not only that, but if you recall back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus made a promise that they would be witnesses, and he even tells the progression of this witnessing. It would begin in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It was by no accident that Philip went to Samaria. And that is the story that we have here in Acts chapter 8. And what we find is that many believed and were baptized into Christ. And so that's what he means here. When the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Well, why was Peter and John just now going? Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And so at this point in time, baptized believers, saved people, had not received the Holy Spirit. In this case, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about, again, the power of miracles, the power of inspiration. What we have to realize and understand is that as the gospel spread, it became necessary for people in those different locations to have inspiration to be able to teach. They did not have access to a Bible as we do. They could not get online and download a program and be able to pull it up on their phone or their computer, God's Word. The only way God's word could be communicated and spread was by people inspired to do so. And so these people here in Samaria, they needed this kind of miraculous power. But you know what else? We also know that not all of them even received it at this point in time because there was a man there who did not. Simon, the sorcerer, did not receive this power. And so we realize that conversion did not guarantee the power to perform miracles. And in fact, the only way people could receive this power was by the laying on of the apostles' hand. The apostles received it directly from Jesus. But everyone else received it by the laying on of the apostles' hands, except some found in the book of Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his household. Peter was sent to Cornelius. Cornelius was Gentile. And we remember certainly the Jews' attitude toward the Gentiles. Peter was sent there, and he taught. And as he was teaching, something happened. And if you know the story, you know what happened. As he was teaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues. And this was before conversion. This was before their obedience to God's word. Notice with me in Acts chapter 10. And we begin there in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, those of Cornelius' household. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? This is the only other example in all of the New Testament where the Holy Spirit came on people directly, besides that of the apostles in the book of Acts chapter 2. And you know what? In both cases, it was basically for the same reason. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles. It was truly the baptism of the Holy Spirit in full measure, where the apostles could perform all of the miracles necessary. In most cases, when people were given the power of miracles by the laying on of the apostles' hands, they had limited power. And we get that from the book of 1 Corinthians, where the apostle Paul talks about these different gifts, and it's clear in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 especially, that they all didn't have every gift. And certainly what we find here in the book of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household, it seems, had one gift. The gift of tongue speaking, which magnified God. But the power of the Holy Spirit was given to them so that the Jews would know God intended for them to be saved. God intended for them to be a part of His family, where they could not argue, where they could not complain. And that is precisely the way Peter approached it. As he defended himself in the book of Acts chapter 11, that is the exact point that he made. Who are we? He says. This is what God did. We could not forbid. And so the Holy Spirit gave the apostles certain powers that they used in spreading God's message. They had the full complement, if you will, of these miracles. Others throughout the New Testament received power on a more limited basis. But all of this was so that they might be able to confirm the word. All of this, remember what we read in Mark chapter 16 a few moments ago, all of this was done to confirm that these messengers were from God, where you could count on, where you could be assured of their message. Now, we still really haven't dealt with the idea, is it easier with the Holy Spirit? Is it easier to have personal confidence? Is it easier to reach out and convict people and to teach people? We're going to look at those questions tonight. And I would suggest to you, and this just gives you a hint of where we're going, I would suggest to you that whatever they could do in the early New Testament church by way of converting people, by way of teaching people, we can do today. The same power that they had to convince people to give up their sins, to convince people that they need Christ, we have today. And so I would suggest to you that whatever the Holy Spirit gave to them in that regard, He gives to us. And so, no, I don't believe it would be easier. And we're going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to look at what we can find in the New Testament. I believe the New Testament gives us the answers to these things. And so, this is one reason why you do not see us doing certain things, acting in certain ways that you might find in other places. We do not believe that the Holy Spirit comes in and overpowers or overtakes our personality, our thoughts, our feelings. We believe that the Holy Spirit works today just as He did in the early church, and that is through the Word. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, I want you to be moved by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be moved by His power. Don't think that there's going to be a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and that there's going to appear cloven tongues like as a fire. Don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to come in your life and move you emotionally to want to do what's right in some miraculous way, in some supernatural way. The Holy Spirit will move you, if you let Him, by the Word. So what is that Word? Well, if you're not a Christian, the Word is very simple. You know, we spent a lot of time in Acts chapter 1 and a fair amount of time in Acts chapter 2 this morning. You know what? When all was said and done, and the people said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." That's what the Holy Spirit says this morning as well, if you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, but you believe, if you're not a Christian, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we would encourage you, turn your heart to Him and be baptized. If you are a child of God and you're not serving Him faithfully, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, not in some supernatural way, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the Word. What you need to do is confess your sins and repent of your sins and turn back to Him. Respond if you need to this morning as together we stand and sing.